Thank you so much. Be seated. It's going to be a great week. Now, Miss D said a little while ago when she was able to get a word in edgewise, Miss D said, reminded us that Vacation Bible School is about Jesus. It's about the gospel. We're going to have a lot of fun, eat a lot of food, have a lot of recreation, play a lot of games, learn about missions, learn about and have Bible studies, but it's about the gospel. And it's one of the key times in the life of our church in which we share the gospel with children and by extension with their families. So if you're not working in BBS or sending kids to BBS, be sure and be praying for us. We will be sharing the gospel with the children and we will be asking them to make a decision for Christ this week. I'll be going into the rooms of the children old enough to understand the gospel, old enough to understand they have a need for Christ. I'll be sharing the gospel and asking them to respond. So we need you to be praying about that. It's going to be a great week, and we're excited about everything God is going to do. The gospel is what we're about. Jesus is what we're about. And in just a few minutes, we're going to remind ourselves of that as we share in and celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to be reminded of what Christ did for us on the cross and the price he paid for your forgiveness from sin, for your redemption, because it was a high price, and God sent his own son to pay that price. Jesus told us, do this in remembrance of me. That is, share in this communion or this Lord's Supper in remembrance, he said, of what I have done for you. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he did it on the last night that he would share Passover with his apostles. And on that night, he changed the meaning from the Passover to what we know as the Lord's Supper because he was God's sacrifice. So he said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, if you think about it, remembering what the Lord has done for us by remembering his broken body and his blood may seem a little strange, especially to folks that are not used to our traditions and what the Bible teaches. But we look at the cross behind us on the wall. You might be wearing jewelry as a cross. We are remembering a symbol of execution. We're wearing that so we remember what happened to our Savior. Is that what it's about? Why would we do that? Why would he say, do this in remembrance of me? Last year, the city of London in England had an interesting celebration. It was the 350th anniversary of the burning of London, the Great London Fire. The Great London Fire lasted 4 days. And at the 350th anniversary of the fire, last year, 2016, the city of London put on a 4-day festival. They had art shows, they had vendors in the streets, things going on in the parks, a big day. But the centerpiece of the big celebration was the burning of a replica of the city of London. As hundreds of people, maybe thousands gathered around, they burned a scale replica of the city of London in remembrance of what happened 350 years before when the city burned. And people celebrated. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? Why would they celebrate? Why would they take time out? Why would they have a 4-day festival and burn a replica of London to remember such a horrific event 350 years before? Because historians say that the burning of London launched the greatest stage in the city's history. The restoration of the city and the real growth of the city came after London burned. When the people came together and they rebuilt London and they launched a new financial market, all the truly great things that happened after that. See, they're not celebrating that London burned, they're celebrating what it brought about. They're celebrating the end result of that tragic event. When Jesus told us, do this in remembrance of me, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating not the hideous execution that our Savior undertook, we're celebrating what it meant. We're celebrating what he did for us, and we're celebrating the outcome that because of Christ and his death on the cross, because he shed his blood, because he sacrificed himself on the cross, you and I can be forgiven of our sins and have a home in heaven. If you have your Bible with you, find in the New Testament the book of Ephesians and find chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing the church in Ephesus, and in just two short verses, as we'll see, He gives a summary of the nature of God's forgiveness and what happened on the cross. He summarizes it for us. So that's what we want to reflect on this morning. And through the words of Paul that God has preserved, we want to take a look and review our understanding of God's forgiveness. Because in these two verses, God captures three truths for us about the nature of his forgiveness. So look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul says, in him, that is in Christ, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. It's short, doesn't sound like much, but in fact, in those two compressed verses, Paul summarizes the very nature of God's forgiveness and how God forgives. So as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper, I want us to review that for just a moment. What can we learn from these two verses about the nature of God's forgiveness? Well, the first thing is that God forgives sacrificially. God forgives sacrificially. God paid a price so that you could be forgiven. Paul begins with those two words, in him, that is, in Jesus Christ. And everything else that matters follows those two words. Because of Christ, in Christ, all the power of God, the Bible says, showed up. It was in Christ that God glorified himself on the cross. In him, in Christ, and because of what he's done, God has paid for your sin and purchased your salvation. It also means, in Christ means only in Christ. There is no one else that's done this for you, and there's no other way that you can be saved, that you can be forgiven of your sins. There's no other payment for your sin but what Christ did for you on the cross. In him, in Christ alone, your sins have been paid for. An author named Robert Weber tells a story. He was traveling by airline from San Francisco to Los Angeles, he said, and sitting next to a gentleman on the plane. Now, Weber said he was against the window. Everyone knows how much fun that is. He was against the window. He said he was reading a Christian book, and he said the man next to him was very clearly of Middle Eastern descent, and the man turned to Mr. Weber and said, are you a religious man? He said, well, yes, I am. And the man said, I am too. And he began to talk about his religion, and in the middle of that conversation, Weber says, I interrupted him, and I asked him a question. I said, can you give me a one-liner that captures the essence of your faith? And the man said, well, yes, I can. Here it is. He said, we are all part of the problem, and we are all part of the solution. Weber said, I thought that was pretty good. So we talked about that one-liner for a minute. I told him I thought it was helpful. And then I said, would you mind if I give you a one-liner that captures my Christian faith? The man said, sure, that'd be fine. And this is what Weber said. He said, we are all part of the problem, but there is only one man who is the solution, and that's Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is the only faith that believes that. But that is what we believe. Outside of that, we have nothing. But in him, we have everything. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have our salvation in Christ. It's in him that we are saved, in him that we live. And as Paul says, breathe and have our being, it's in him, and in Christ alone. God forgives sacrificially because he gave his son, he gave Christ, for our forgiveness. And there's no confusion then of where salvation or forgiveness comes from. It comes from Christ and from Christ alone. Paul says this is through his blood. You know, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Someone had to pay a price for your sin, for your trespasses. Someone had to pay a price for that. Blood had to be shed. So God sacrificially sent his son to die on the cross for you. And then Paul says, he defines that forgiveness. He says, we're talking about forgiveness of sins, and he says, this is redemption. That's what forgiveness of sin is, redemption, which was purchased through his blood. The word translated redemption can mean release. That is, God released you from bondage. That's what your salvation is. That's what your redemption is. God released you. He set you free when you trusted Christ as your Savior. The image for the first century world comes from the slave market. It pictures slaves on the block where people would buy and they would sell slaves. And the purpose of that was to keep them enslaved. If you bought a slave, you kept them enslaved and now they were your slave. But the image is that, in fact, God has paid a price through the blood of Jesus Christ to set you free. He purchased you, but when he did so, rather than keep you enslaved to sin and to death, he set you free. That's pretty good news, isn't it? God has set you free. He has released you. Why did he do that? So you could serve him. So you could love him back. So you could be a part of the family of God. So you could have a home in heaven. That's why God did that. God forgives sacrificially. He paid the price. Then second, Paul reminds us that God forgives permanently. God forgives permanently. I mentioned a moment ago that what we celebrate as the Lord's Supper is Jesus changing the Passover meal. The Passover celebrated God liberating the Jewish people from Egypt. And in that sense, it celebrated God's redemption in a way. At that last Passover, Jesus says, this is the last time you have to do this because I am now your Passover. I am now the Passover lamb. I am now the one sacrificed for your sins, and it never has to be done again. It is a permanent sacrifice for all, once for all time. God did this for you. When we say we are doing this in remembrance of what Christ did for us, that means we're remembering that one time that he hung on the cross, that he died for our sins. It means he doesn't have to do it again. We're remembering it. We're not replaying it. It doesn't have to be done again. It doesn't have to be replayed at all. We are remembering that one time permanent sacrifice, what he's done for us on the cross. When Paul said, we have redemption, the phrase would very literally mean, we have and are still having redemption. We have and we continue to have redemption. So when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you accepted his payment, his redemption, his payment for your sin on the cross. He redeemed you, he released you, he set you free, and you continue to live in that redemption. That continues to be part of your life. So when God looks at you, God says, oh yes, my son has redeemed them. That's now your life, from now through eternity. You are one redeemed by the Son and who continues to let you live in that redemption all the time. You continue to live there. In him, God forgives sacrificially. God continues to redeem. Redemption is permanent. God forgives permanently for you. I don't know about you, but one reason I like to remember that when I'm remembering the things of God and what Christ has done for me is it reminds me I can't mess it up. Because I make a lot of mistakes and I disobey God, and there are a lot of times that if it were so, I think I'd probably drop away from redemption and have to start all over. But because I trusted Christ as my Savior and I was saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, when I remember this, what he did for me, I'm remembering that I am in his redemption from now to eternity. God has saved me. So God forgives permanently. Then last, God forgives lavishly. You ever thought about that? God forgives lavishly. Paul put it this way, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. Now, God's grace is lavish. It's overflowing. And notice what Paul means. He does, the benchmark, the standard for God's forgiveness is not our goodness. It's not how good we happen to be, how religious we happen to be. That's not his standard. It doesn't say according to your goodness, God gives you grace or God gives you forgiveness or God redeemed you based on your goodness. Because as the Bible says, there is no one good, not even one. And all people have fallen short of God's glory. Not one single person can say, I am good enough for God. So rather than count on that, God said, my standard is my own grace. And the beauty of God's grace, the riches of God's grace, is that it never runs out. And when you and I needed grace, God lavished grace on us. God lavished it on us. See, grace is the expression of God's love. Grace is God saying, you don't deserve my redemption, my salvation. You didn't deserve my son's sacrifice. But I still sent him to the cross. He still obeyed and went to the cross. So when you realized your need for salvation, everything would be ready. And God is ready to lavish that grace on you. God forgives freely, lavishly, and to use Paul's term, richly, from the great well of his grace. He gives us redemption and salvation. The Apostle Paul himself, I think, noted some excitement about this. Did you read what he said? In him, he said, we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. See, Paul included himself in that. Even the Apostle Paul did not think to himself, well, I'm so good that I don't need grace. I'm so good that God will just use my goodness as his benchmark. I'm going to disappear for a couple seconds, but I'll be back. Paul himself said, this is how we are, all of us, all believers in Christ. This is how you found redemption. You found grace. You found this in him, in Jesus Christ. And he lavished that grace on you when you trusted Christ as your Savior. When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, sharing the Lord's Supper, he was saying, remember, I paid a price for you, a sacrifice for you. It's permanent forgiveness if you trusted Christ, and it's lavish grace that God gives you. Why would God do that? Well, there's really only one reason, because he loves you. He loves you that much. As the Bible says, even before you knew that you were a sinner, even before you knew you were a sinner, God showed his love this way. He acted it out by sending his son Jesus Christ to the cross to die on the cross for your sins. So the day you realize that you needed Christ, everything would be ready and the grace of God would be lavished on you. In 1868, Queen Victoria of England was having some communications with the Emperor of Ethiopia that became more and more of a problem. The Emperor of Ethiopia was holding 53 British citizens captive in the heart of Ethiopia, deep within the country. They were women and children, missionaries, even a British consul. 53 citizens of Great Britain. And for 4 years, the Queen of England sent him messages, sent him letters, sent people there to try to mediate. She did everything she could to find a peaceful resolution and get the Emperor of Ethiopia to release these 53 citizens. Nothing worked. So in 1868, she commanded her military to take charge and to go into Ethiopia. Through India, they mounted their assault. They sent in what historians say is one of the largest forces ever used in peacetime for a mission like this. 32,000 soldiers, 44 elephants, tons and tons of supplies. They built a railroad just to get in. They laid communication lines in. They built a water treatment plant along the way. Countless bridges, as it took them months and months and months to get into the interior of Ethiopia. 32,000 troops stormed into Ethiopia in full force. They rescued 53 people, and then they left. They never had an intention of staying. They were not going to start a war. But 53 people were being held captive, and it was time to go in and get them out. And no expense was too much. No force was too great. These people had to be rescued. So they went in, they rescued them, and they brought them out. God, in his grace, knew you needed a rescue. And there was no price too great, even his own son. Even his own son. So God sent him in. He paid the price. And he laid a path for you to come out, to be released, to be rescued. And the first step is trusting Jesus Christ to save you. The first step is saying, God's grace is enough. I'm not good enough, but God's grace is enough. And I trust what Christ has done for me on the cross. In a moment, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper in that remembrance of what Christ has done for us. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, whether you're a member at First Baptist Church, I invite you to participate with us. Share in this celebration with us. I also would encourage you to search your hearts during the time the music plays and the bread and the cup are being passed. Ask God, pray and ask God to show you any unconfessed sin. Let God hold you accountable and clean you up in this time of remembrance and reminder. Now, if you're in here this morning and you're not sure if you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior, or you're sure you have not, I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to ask you to let the cup go by, to let the bread go by, because this is a distinctly Christian event. When Jesus said, do this in remembrance, and Paul said, we have been redeemed, it expresses the fact that you need to experience that salvation to participate in the symbol of it and what it means. Because until you've done that, this doesn't mean that to you. It's just a ritual. And that's not what it is. This is a remembrance. It's a reminder that you have accepted what Christ has done for you. At the end of the hour, when we're finished with this, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to Christ. I'm going to ask you to come to Christ, pray to receive Him as your Savior. So you'll have an opportunity to do that also today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to this moment, God, when we share in the Lord's Supper, we celebrate what You have done through Your Son, what He has done for us on the cross. God, how I pray You would search our hearts this morning, Father. I pray we would be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives today, what He wants to show us, God. And I pray You would show us that truth, God, that only You can show us about ourselves. But God, if You show us we're not saved, Father, I pray when the hour's up, we get saved today. But God, also, I pray, Father, you would help us to celebrate, to praise, to remember through this bread and through this cup what Jesus Christ, Your Son, has done on the cross for us. God, we praise You for it, and it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.